Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, some very famous verses of Scripture. Bible says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because it belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Have you heard about that before? Kind of some famous verses we're talking about today. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.'" Can I get a witness on that? Amen. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, say suddenly, would you? Suddenly, a great, now they got the one angel, now they got the a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Lord, we come to you this morning just feeling good, Lord. Feeling good from your blessings and your mercy and your grace and your love poured out to us in the form of your Son that came and came near to us, Lord. That brought the kingdom of God near. And Lord, we thank you for these little children, Lord, that celebrate your goodness. And thank you for David, Lord, in a little donkey outfit, Lord. That Lord, we can come to you, Lord, as a small child. Lord, and we can come with trust and confidence, Lord, and that you won't turn us away. Lord, some of us come in here this morning hurting. Some of us come in here this morning realistically just to see a play. Maybe just because it's Christmas. Lord, I pray that you would meet us here this morning. That you would give us more than what we were expecting. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Well, my daughter is back from college. I was talking to her on the phone the other day before she came back, and I said, "What do you want for Christmas?" And she's got a camera, you know, and I said, she's doing some photography and stuff. "Are you looking for a new camera?" And she's like, "Ooh. And a camera." And I said, or maybe there's clothing, or there's maybe some clothing, you know. It's like, I don't know what to choose, right? And I hear this, camera. And I hear her hesitating on the phone, you know. And she finally says, "I don't know what I want, Dad. Just surprise me." Amen? Sometimes we don't know what we want. Sometimes we got this. And how many of you guys want the Raiders to win today? See, sometimes it's easy. See, Sometimes there is no doubt on what you want, right? But sometimes it's like, well, I don't know if I really want this, or I want this, or I want that. And so we're talking about today, we're in a series called The Gift of Love. And sometimes we don't really know what it looks like. Sometimes when it arrives, we can be confused. And so as we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate a day that is like no other. A day when the creator of the universe put on skin. Amen? It is a huge step in the redemption of all creation that was fallen because of sin, the sin of Adam. A huge step in the salvation of mankind as the kingdom of God came near. Jesus came as the king. And the king has got to have a kingdom. Amen? Luke 11:20, jumping ahead 11 chapters. If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And in the person of Jesus, the kingdom of God came nearer than it has ever come before. And the question that we face today is, what do you do with the kingdom of God? Is what will you do with the king when he comes near? Because sometimes you're going, kingdom of God, and you don't know which to choose. So what do you choose today when the king comes near? I got to let you know I'm going to burst a couple of bubbles today. No, not that one. But I do have to let you know that in all likelihood, Jesus was not born on December 25th. We have read the most exhaustive description of the birth of Christ right now. You have read, you know more, as much as anybody knows about the birth of Christ reading the Gospel of Luke. Matthew has one verse describing the birth of Christ, and he said Jesus was born. Not a whole lot of info there. Mark and John start with Jesus being an adult. For whatever reason, God did not see fit to give us the date of the birth of his son. He wanted us focusing on something else. 1700, 1600 years ago, they chose to celebrate Christ's birth on the winter solstice. And I could get into all the technicalities of all that, but that's really not what we're going to look at today. The issue we're going to look at today is, what are you going to do with the king? And what are you going to do with the kingdom? Because if you're going to enter, you got to step in. Amen? Amen. All right, let's take a look at this. God is making a king-size change. He does that by sending a king. Amen? Verses 1 through 4. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree. You guys ever heard of Caesar before? Kind of a powerful guy. Amen? In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And things are moving into position. Caesar had a census. Now, you might not be aware of what goes on with kings, but kings like to count people. Can you take a guess why? Because people pay taxes. Can I get a witness? Yes, and they want to count you so they know how much you owe. So Caesar Augustus decided that the whole world should be counted. Now, this is a picture of the Roman Empire. Now, that's all of Spain, all of Western Europe, Italy. You got a whole bunch of Turkey in there. You're coming around all of Northern Egypt, all of Northern Africa. How many people know that's a lot of people? That's, can I get a witness on that, please? That is a lot of people. Amen. Even back 2,000 years ago, that's a lot of people. Amen? Amen. Now, guess what? He's just moving people into place. Who's he moving into place? Joseph and Mary. Now, we've been talking the last couple of weeks about angels showing up and sending messages. You know, how easy would it have been for Gabriel to show up and said, Mary, you're going to be with child. By the way, why don't you go to Bethlehem? Easy, right? God says, oh, no, no, no. That's not the way I roll. He says, I'm going to move the whole known, well, the whole Roman world. How big? That big. We serve a big God. Amen? And so he is moving Joseph and Mary down to Bethlehem, which is about a 7-8-day journey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Bethlehem just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. Why? Because that's where they needed to be. Because 700 years earlier, Micah prophesied, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that means Bethlehem in Judea, though you are small among the clans of Judah, you out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And so what we see in this, through this census, and you think, okay, did God cause the census? Or did God just know the census was going to happen? Because 700, either way, it's a pretty big deal. Amen? Amen. And if he caused the census, did he just go, hey, yo, Augustus, you need a little cash? Or did he create some economic situation that caused Augustus at the perfect time? God is a big God. Amen? Amen. See, when God starts doing stuff, it's big stuff. And he does big stuff on a small level to get Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Galilee. Joseph takes Mary. He didn't have to. He wasn't married to her yet. They were betrothed. He could have left her in Nazareth. Her town wasn't the town of David. She didn't have to go. But she was pregnant. King James Version has, she was great with child. You ladies know what that means, right? And so back home, things could have been getting a little bit dicey for Mary being an unwed mother-in-law. And both of them had had messages from God via angels. And so Joseph is stepping up to the plate. Kingdom of God rolling right by Joseph and Mary, and Joseph is stepping on in. Amen? Amen. Not the most comfortable step you ever might make. Amen? Not the most convenient step you might ever make. But that's where Mary and Joseph are walking. Let's take a look. Joseph and Mary are working it out. He went to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Okay. You have just heard the most expansive description of the birth of Christ. Okay? This is as detailed as it gets. I might burst a bubble here. But probably Mary did not show up to Bethlehem 9 months pregnant. I mean, you can get this image of, oh, is there any room? I'm having labor pains right now. It's not there. This is as good as it gets. It's not there. In fact, the word, I got to get these Greek words right here. The word for inn, the word that is probably not hotel. The word for hotel is, let me get this here, pandokion. Pandokion. Okay? Pan means all. Anybody can come and stay. That's not the word. The Good Samaritan who grabbed the guy that was beat up and took him to an inn. He took him to a pandokion, which was like, you know, a hotel. That's not the word that was used here. The word that was used here is katalima. Katalima means room. Katalima can also mean a place where soldiers stay. Katalima is the word that they used for the upper room where they had the Last Supper. They went to the katalima to have the Last Supper. Are you tracking with me? Okay. So we get a feeling of them going to the Motel 6 and saying, sorry, we're booked. That text, that verse could be translated, instead of there was no room for them in the inn, there was no space for them in the room. And we're freaking, you guys are freaking out. What are you doing? You're bursting my bubble. I'm trying to honor the text here. Let me give you, I did some research on this week. They went into town. It was Joseph's town. Every relative that Joseph had was in town. It is like the biggest Thanksgiving that you ever been to. Nobody missed. Why? Because they'd probably kill you if you didn't show up for the census. Or do something really bad, take all your property, or do something bad. Everybody was there. So if you lived in Bethlehem, just think how many people said, hey, can I stay at your house? Can I stay at your house? Can I stay at your house? Everybody that you were related to. So they showed up and they were all in this room. As many as they could fit. Have you got a vision of that? You got a picture of that, right? So they're all packed in. And time comes for Mary to have a baby. And they're going, man, we got to set something up for the birth of this child. I mean, because, ladies, you're sharing a room with a pregnant lady, you know something's coming up, right? Especially if you've had a child, right? Now, many homes, I'm not going to say most homes, but many homes had a place to feed animals. If you had a goat or a sheep or cow or whatever, you would have a place where your it might not be a great room. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, maybe like a dog house or something, you know, something. I got a dog house. You know, they would have it, though, that a goat or something like that. People say it maybe was a cave or something like that. But that they would have set up. They said, you know what, let's set up the room where the animals are. Put the animals out. We'll clean it up. Ladies, one of your relatives is going to have a baby. You going to clean up the room for her? You going to do that, Karina? You going to do that? Right? Hey, let's set her up. Come on. Most likely there was a midwife there. We got the most expansive text right here on the birth of Christ. There's nothing better. You guys are freaking out right now. Wait a minute. What about all the plays I was in? Let's do one or two of the text. The creator of the universe put on skin, was born of a virgin, unwed mother. There was shame that was involved. I say a midwife was involved. He was wrapped in cloths. The cloths that were involved, swaddling cloths, sometimes you hear them called, they were the normal things that a mother would have to wrap their infant child in because it gave them security and support. Kind of like a papoose kind of thing, right? But just kind of wrapped them up. They had those. There were some preparations that were made. It wasn't wrapped in rags. Okay? He was wrapped in cloths. And he was placed in this manger. Now, I don't want to completely freak you all out. Because the King of the universe, King of creation, came and was born in a pretty obscure place. As an alternative or as a contrast, I show you this. Our president is vacationing opulently in Hawaii. I have no problem with that. But I tell you what, as powerful as our president is, and he's quite powerful, and he has a lot of resources, amen? The creator of the universe towers over him. And he was born in the back of a house and placed in a manger. Amen? I just kind of wanted to bring that out. There was no space for him in the room. Okay? Okay? Take a breath. All right. The shepherds. Shepherds get an invitation. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Okay, I think I have the last bubble I'm going to break for you. You've heard about shepherds, right? I'm just joking, really. They were really pretty poor. All right, sorry, I just... See, this is kind of what shepherds would be like today, because shepherds were the bottom rung of the economic ladder. You took a shepherding job if you couldn't get any other job. Are you tracking with me? Kind of like somebody collecting cans. I mean, I know some of us collect cans. We see guys that are collecting cans, but sometimes you see people that are collecting cans, and they look a little bit shady. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness on that? And so it's like, yeah, you're going to have, hey, guy collecting the cans, would you like to babysit my children? Probably not going to happen. Amen? It's like, hey, there's an upstanding young guy collecting cans. I think I'm going to have him come into my home and be a home sitter. Probably not going to happen. That's what's going on with the shepherds, right? And an angel comes and speaks to them. And there is a dichotomy. There is this grasp, this stretch that is going on. Yeah, I got things. Shepherds get an invitation. They are in the field. And the Lord shows up to these guys in the field, these guys that are like this. And we see how wide the kingdom of God stretches. That angel also appeared to Zechariah in the temple. And you think, if that's where an angel is going to go, it's going to go to the temple. Amen? Temple looks good, all clean and nice. Temple appears out in the sticks. Someplace, we don't know where, to Mary. Poor young girl. And the angel appears out on the fields at night to a place like this. Man, the kingdom of God is wide. Kingdom of God stretches to let all kinds of people in. The glory of God shone about them. Thinking about how to describe the glory of God. You know, there's a jubilation in here earlier. Sometimes as we sing, there is just a heaviness of the presence of God. Yeah? You've heard that, felt that before? They're talking about the glory of God. Take that and multiply it. The glory of God shone around them. The manifest presence of God amongst these guys is shining around them. The glory of God was on Mount Sinai as Moses ascended and received the commandments and the law from God. And it looked like a consuming fire. Can you get a you just look up there and there is fire, and that's the glory of God. When the temple was completed and they sacrificed thousands and thousands of animals, cows and sheep and goats, the glory of God descended into the temple so the priests could not go inside and work. Can you imagine the glory of God coming into this place and to be so present that we could not enter the building? Getting a feel for that? That is what the glory of God is like. And that is what shone around these shepherds. The kingdom of God is wide and extends even this far. Aren't you glad about that this morning? Amen, amen, amen. All right, the angel said to them, don't be afraid. We've been talking about that. Don't be afraid. He says, I'm bringing you good news of great joy that's for everyone. Are you happy? It's for everyone. Back row, front row, old, young, all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. It is a kingdom message for those who are in need. And I'm thinking that these guys were really in need. Amen? You've seen the can collectors. Maybe you come in here this morning, you're thinking, I have got some need. Kingdom of God is on the way. Savior is on the way. Political situation in Palestine, in the Holy Land. Pompey had invaded the Holy Land in 63 BC. Time of Christ's birth is about, we'll just call it zero. So for 63 years, the Romans had been in control of Palestine or the Holy Land, and everybody within a couple of years had probably spent their whole life living under occupied Roman rule, where they could kill you for whatever they wanted to. You think they were looking for a savior? You think they were looking for some help? You think they'd been crying out to God saying, God, we're here. Don't you see? Don't you care? Yeah, maybe you come in here this morning and say, man, I have had that cry. I have been crying that cry. God, don't you see? Don't you care? And the pain just goes on. And they think, and maybe you think, that there is no answer. And they think, and maybe you think, there is no God. God gives an answer. He always does. He says, here I am. I've always been here. He says, I know the hairs on your head. Mine's getting to be an easy count. He says, I know what you need before you even ask. He says, I have plans for you. I have plans for a hope and plans for a future. And see, the kingdom of God is coming near. And the question is, do you want to step in? And so often the answer is, not really. I got other stuff going on. I think I can handle my pain. I think I can handle my dry. I think I'm about ready to turn the corner on this. Nah. I think I'm okay. Kingdom of God comes near. The only way you're going to get in is to step in. Amen? Amen? All right. I don't want to freak anybody out here. This will be a sign to you. Take a breath. This is supposed to be kind of an illustration kind of time. You can take a breath and sink up. This will be a sign to you. Really. This will be a sign to you. You got, who do we got? We got these guys, right? Are you tracking with? Come on now. Amen. All right. Guys like these guys, right? All right. This is going to be a sign to you. You're going to find a baby wrapped in a manger. Who are they talking to? No. Who are the shepherds talking to? An angel, right? What is shining around them? Glory of God. I'm good enough at that point. Are you tracking with me here? I am good. I don't need any more signs. I have got the angel of the Lord speaking to me. I have the glory of God wrapped all around me. I don't need any more. But he says, I got a sign for you. You can go to Bethlehem. I mean, look. You know, say it. Oh, here's another. There's nothing supernatural about that, folks. That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus either. That's just a picture. It's just a baby laying in some hay. Get some hay. The manifest presence of God is way bigger than that. The angel speaking to him was way bigger than that. But he says, I'm going to give you something that you can grab onto. He says, you go into Bethlehem right now, and you're going to find that. And that's going to be a sign, something that you can grab onto. And so often, God gives us something, a bite-sized little piece that we can grab on and say, I don't want that. I don't need that. God, you can just show up, do what you want to do, Lord, but don't ask me to be inconvenienced. Don't ask Am I talking to anybody? Don't ask me to do anything. You know, God, it's your job to remove my inconvenience. I got my God come and take my drama away. You know, he brought John the Baptist to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age. He could have brought them when they were young. Why make them be old and have little kids? It's hard to play basketball with a little kid when you're 90. Can I get a witness? Joseph and Mary, why couldn't the angel show up on their wedding day? During the reception, during the ceremony, hey, you're going to be with child. It would have been so much more convenient for Mary, wouldn't it? Nobody questioning the pregnancy. Amazingly, God wasn't worried about their convenience. And you know what? The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And if you're looking for a God to make just everything convenient for you, kingdom of God's running right through here, and you might not want to step in. Many of you have stepped in, and you are finding that it is a good step, but it is an inconvenient step. Can I get a witness on that part? All right, I'm moving on right now. But I got to have to tell you that my uncle came. He's never been to our church before. He says, so do I get to say amen? I said, oh, yeah, you probably get to say a couple extra amens. I said, somebody got to count. All right, here we go. Can I get a witness on? Yeah, okay, there we go. All right. Are you good with me, uncle? Except for the Raider part, right? All right, here we go. The shepherds get a divine display. Now, you got the little bite-sized portion. Here, this is something you can do. Make this your own. Take your step. Have a little piece of the kingdom. And suddenly, I'm not making that up, suddenly, a great company of the, it's like, whoom. You know what I was thinking? Did they just appear or did they come from hell? I think they zoomed in. That's me. They could have faded in. You know, kind of like divine display. That's a fade in. They could have done that. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, this is two things. Two statements. Two declarations. One, glory to God in the highest. The highest is a location. Glory to God in heaven. Okay? Not glory to God. Glory to Revelation chapter 4. Now, this is, I had to chop it out so I could fit it on the screen. You can read the whole chapter. It's a good book. It's a good book. Each of the four living creatures, this is Revelation 4, 8 through 11. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes. Are you tripping? Six wings covered with eyes all over the place, even under his wings. Day and night, we would say 24/7. Day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, day and night, 24/7. Picture of heaven. Amen? Amen? Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders. So you got your four living creatures, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You got the 24 elders watching this, and they're doing this 24/7. Whenever they do it, which is when? Always. Are you tracking with me? The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, worship him who lives forever and ever, and they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So what do you got? You got this repetitive things. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You got the crowns going down. You've got, you are worthy, and then they pick up the crowns and they do it again, and they do it again. 24/7, the focus in heaven is on God. And they show up, the heavenly host, and the first thing they say, glory to God. Glory to God. And as great, as incredible that picture is, I want to get to heaven. Anybody want to get to heaven? Yes. I want it. I'll tell you, I am ready to go to heaven. I tell my wife, I'm ready to go to heaven today. And she says, what about the children? I said, we could go together. Hallelujah. Heaven is an upgrade. I am telling you, heaven is an upgrade. We worry about all the stuff that's going to get us to heaven. When we get to heaven, we say, why are we fighting it so long? As good as heaven is going to be, I am drawn to the promise of peace. Amen? And peace on earth. I am thinking we need to get all that we can get while we are down here. Amen? Kingdom of God comes by. You have got to step in. You can be on the outside. Sorry, I was going off a little bit there. I got to just see where I'm at. Peace on earth. Everybody hearing this had been living under Roman rule their whole life. Think they wanted peace? Oh, I think they wanted peace. All right, last little part. When the angels left them, whoo, whoa, how long do you think it took? 2 minutes? 2 hours? We don't know. When they left and had gone into heaven, whew, that's why I think they flew in and they flew out. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see. Let's make this real. Kingdom of God is right here. I am stepping in. Amen? Amen? Amen. He said, let's go see that happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found it just like the Lord said. Have you found that to be true? God said it's going to be true. It's going to be true. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them to this child, about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Stepping into the kingdom of God. That's what these shepherds did, folks. Let's go see. Who's going to watch the sheep? We got sheep. Sheep. Kingdom of God. What are you going to do? Kingdom of God's coming right through here. Kingdom of God, what do you got? What is holding you back? What is holding them back? They went and saw. Responsibility, complications, just can't run off. You're going to enter into the kingdom of God. You're going to have to step in. And if you're going to step into the kingdom of God, there's something that you're going to have to let go of in your life. And I don't know what you're holding on to. Christmas time, you might look back at the last year, and Aaron talked about the last year and looking at the next year. I don't want to look back. You look back at the last year, and you could have one thing that is just dragging you down, dragging you back in your life. What are you grabbing on to? Kingdom of God. Just like this. Lisa, you can come up. We have 5 or 6 or 7 of these things on Christmas Eve. This one's empty, I said. But Christmas Eve, they are going to be filled with candy. You know as pinatas go, this is a pretty good-looking pinata. And until you bust this thing wide open, all it is a decoration. Kingdom of God come through here. Until you step in, it's just a decoration. Many of you have stepped in. JJ, you want to set this board up, please? Many of you have stepped in, and it has been less than convenient. The way God rolls. Not my kingdom. He had the king be born and placed in a manger. I don't think he's about convenience. Does that track with you? I mean, I like the Obama plan. I want to go to Hawaii for Christmas. You know, I wish that the Lord came, was placed in the temple, received gold and all kinds of stuff. Man, he had to run to Egypt to keep from being killed. Kingdom of God comes right through here. You want in, you got to step in. My question is, what's holding you back? Because if you're not in, it's for a reason. Lord, we come before you this morning. Some of you here just to see a play, just freaking out, going, why is this guy preaching so long? Some of you freaking out because the Lord is speaking right to your heart right now, saying, you know what? Kingdom of God is right here. I died on a cross for you. And I have opened the door to my kingdom, and you have yet to step in. You cry and gripe and moan at how terrible your life is, and I am offering you kingdom life. And you have told me no over and over and over again. And this morning, I have opened that door with a nail-pierced hand, and I have paid for your sins on the cross, and I have paid for your entrance into the kingdom of God, which lasts forever and which is less than convenient, which will cost you all that you have to enter. But I make you this offer this morning. You can come and be with me forever. You got to step in. Lord, as we come to you this morning, I pray, Lord, that you are just by your Spirit just touching hearts, Lord, that you are confirming, Lord, this Christmas message, the gift of love, the gift of eternal life, be poured out in this place. Nobody looking around. I'm just going to pause for a moment. Lisa's going to sing a song. But right now, the Lord is speaking to your heart. And you got a whole lot more than you bargained for when you walk in here this morning. And you're saying, I want it. I want in the kingdom. I'm not going to let anything hold me back. I'm not saying, you know, you haven't done this before. It's a new thing. You've been on the outside. Lord, right now, saying you are in danger. But I'm going to let you in. I died for you to come in. Nobody looking around, you're saying, that's me this morning. Lord, I see that invitation. I want to step into your kingdom. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me.